Brother Larry, I don't know if you can hear me out there, but apparently people don't listen to the announcements very well because you said I was going to be preaching tonight, and look at all these people that showed up anyway. Okay. There it is. I had a copy of my notes. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but all the way up to the last minute, I'm redoing things and red ink and stuff, and I got a room over there at the base this afternoon so that in case I had a migraine, I'd have a quiet place to recover. And going through my notes again, and you know, I had a red ink pen and ended up bleeding all over it. So I told Jerry, I said, "Hey, Jerry, could you reprint this for me?" And I appreciate him doing that. So if there's any mistakes in my message, he must have manipulated the file there before he pushed print. Make it, so if you like it, it's my message. If you don't, it's something that Jerry modified. Go to Mark chapter number 16, if you will. Very familiar scripture. But that's not going to be the message itself. I just want to get you thinking about something. I was thinking about missions conference. Would you believe that a missionary likes missions? I mean, likes preaching about it. I love missions. It's been my life. It's been my being. For many years, I saw a young couple coming in to the church house this morning. Right over here on Lake Otis, my wife and I got in behind him. He was driving slow. He wasn't in a hurry to go anywhere. He had a straight cab pickup with a bench seat, and his honey's over next to him. I said, "Look, must be newlyweds, huh?" And you know, you've heard the joke, you know, we used to do that. Well, you know, the husband said, "Well, I never moved." But anyway, I saw them, and I thought, you know, I wish I had the knew where they were going to go and how far they're going to be driving. I'd like to tell them, you know, that it's obvious you're newlyweds. Is Jesus Christ the foundation of your marriage? Are you making it a priority to be in God's house? Okay, that's how I started my marriage. That's how I started my home, and it's only by God's grace. If you know my past, if you don't, you want to hear the boring story, I'll tell you all about it. But it's by God's grace that I've got sweet kids, got a sweet wife. I thank you, thank the Lord for that. And then you go on and look at the things that Lord's done and how He's allowed us to serve Him in full time ministry. I was called to preach in 2003, and I thought, you know, I'll be stuck in hot, flat, sweaty, ugly Mississippi with Brother Dan Carr. And I just couldn't believe it when the Lord called me to serve Him here in Alaska. I felt like, you know, some of you old people like myself and Rob know the story about Burr Rabbit and the Briar Patch. You know, please don't throw me in that Briar Patch. I'm in the Briar Patch, man. I'm having the time of my life. You know, I read a verse there in Colossians chapter 4 this week. The ministry that God gave you, fulfill it. And I'm thinking, you know, my oldest two boys are out on the Yukon River today. You know, they didn't make it to Stevens Village. I'm sure y'all hear a lot about that trip from Sean and my boys. But I was a nervous wreck today. I mean, I really was. I can't imagine what my wife goes through when I take her kids out to the bush. I'm just like, man, are they okay? Is the machines running? How's the weather? And I had my, you saw Boss Tommy leaving Sunday school and service. I have my phone on. I'm the standby guy now. My wife does the same thing for me, and I appreciate that. When I'm, you know, several hundred miles away, I know I've got someone who can call for help and get us to safety if the need arises. But the long and short of it is they, you know, this is Sean's first winter trip. Okay, he's gone on summer trips with us. I'm talking about missions, okay? Missions here in Alaska. He's gone on summer trips, but he's never been on a winter trip. Pastor McGovern has finally got things plowed away to where he's got a block of time. He's going to go to the bush with us, finally. And it's going to be a winter trip. This is going to be pretty awesome. So pray for lots of bad weather, cold temperatures, breakdowns, wrecks, open water, you know, drunk natives, all this stuff that we deal with. Just pray that he gets a full fill of this, okay? So, you know, we get the message that they didn't make it in. They only made it 8 miles down the Yukon River, had some problems with visibility and stuff. With Sean couldn't keep his mask from fogging up. But anyway, I'm sure you're going to be hearing lots of stuff there. Missions, though, I don't know if I preached this message here or not about your priorities. You know, your finances, your calendar. You look at your calendar, you look at your checkbook. Those two things would give you and me a good indication of what our priorities are. And to see Pastor take time to go to New Guinea, I don't think any of us would doubt that his heart's in New Guinea. He loves the ministry that God's called him. He is fulfilling that ministry that God gave him. Okay? And I'm trying to do the same here. So, but missions is always been huge. Giving, going, doing. And that's what we're going to talk about here tonight. And In Mark chapter number 16, verse 15, Jesus tells the disciples, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Dear God in heaven, I thank you for an opportunity to be here this evening in warm, cozy Anchorage, Alaska, in just a shirt, no coat. I'm sweating anyway. But God, I thank you, Heavenly Father, for being so merciful to me, so gracious to me, Lord. You've blessed me beyond what I could ever imagine. Ask or think, Lord, you've blessed us, Lord. We thank you for it as a family. And Lord, I trust that people here in the church are thankful for the things that you've done for them as well. Lord, we are blessed in this country, regardless of how old or small or wore out our car, our clothes, our house may be, Lord. You have blessed us so good. Lord, we thank you for that. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that anyone in here that doesn't know the excitement that I have for the Great Commission, Lord, maybe it's because they're lost, Heavenly Father, and have never experienced the salvation that Jesus Christ can give them. Lord, I pray, Father, that they would be saved this evening before it's eternally too late. And Lord, the one that may have come in here with, maybe there's people like myself used to listen to the wrong kind of music on the way to church. Wasn't no kind of way prepared to hear the preacher preach. God, I pray that you'd help that person. Lord, the one that may be brokenhearted, and, you know, much has been mentioned about the lows, but I got the prayer chain, and Lord, I knew up in Fairbanks, I got that news that Brother Lowe's brother had went on to heaven. I knew he'd gone to heaven because I've already heard of his testimony of salvation. Lord, I thank you, Heavenly Father, that I have a salvation testimony. And Lord, I pray that everyone here would have a zeal to share their testimony with others around the globe. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. In Mark 16:15, he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I don't know who said it. It's probably Norris Ward. Wherever there's a creature, there ought to be a preacher. Amen. Wherever there's a creature, there ought to be a preacher. Everybody on the globe deserves an opportunity to hear the gospel. I would be ashamed if I knew the number of times that I sat in the church pew cleaning my fingernails or whittling a piece of wood in the back. Yeah, we had pocket knives back then, kids, believe it or not. In the back part of the church there, in the country church I grew up in, and my friend, you know, carving his initials in the back pew, we were not interested at all at what was being preached from the pulpit. I would be ashamed if I knew how many times I sat there and I listened to the preacher present the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only way to heaven, and I just blew it off. Wasn't grateful for it. My heart wasn't in 100 miles of that place. But when I finally understood that I was going to bust hell wide open for stealing gum out of my mom's purse as a little kid, that made me pay attention. Brother Carl Wilson preached that evening that hell's hot, hell's real, and hell is forever. And my friend, there's people in Bush, Alaska, there's people in New Guinea, there's people in Anchorage that have never heard the gospel. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the only begotten, sinless Son of God. You think about that. He went through all that. He left His throne in heaven for you and for me. He loved us that much. That is absolutely amazing. I don't love anybody in here enough to sacrifice one of my sons. And I got four of them. Okay? Jesus loved us that much. What we take for granted. What we take for granted. The fifth son. Yeah, I see a lot of women. My wife's over there is like, she's like, you forgot one. I love you, Joel. I haven't forgot you. Give me a break, people. I'm tired. I thought I'd be nervous about tonight, but I've been nervous about them boys up there, really. I knew they were going to have some struggles. This is Nathan's first time leading a trip in the bush without Dad's help. And the last time we went to the bush, you know, he messed up a lot of stuff. But I knew this. I knew he would just take for granted Dad's got this, you know. But, man, I'm proud of him. I thank God that God's using my son. I think, what could my 18-year-old boy be doing? He could be doing what I was doing when I was 18. And it wasn't interested in preaching the gospel to anybody. Wherever there's a creature, there ought to be a preacher. I want you to think about a few things. What is your part in the Great Commission? Thank you, Levi. Some of y'all didn't notice, but Conley already brought a cup up here, and Levi brought me some more. I don't know which one had the poison in it, but hopefully Levi's the one that didn't have the poison in it. What's your part in the Great Commission? What is our part? What has God called us to in the Great Commission? Do you realize that if it wasn't for the Great Commission, we might as well just pack up and go home, really? I didn't come here to tickle your toes, and if you came here to get your toes tickled, you came to the wrong place. Anyway, that's not what Pastor McGovern does either. He preaches the Word of God. If you didn't come here to learn something tonight, go ahead and go on. Okay? Really, why did you bother wasting gas to come here? You know? I pray oftentimes that none of us will leave here the same way we came in. Okay? We've heard some powerful preaching today. Brother Mitchell, where are you at? You preached a couple of things, you know, the giving, the going, and that's our part in the Great Commission. Okay? We've got four parts I want to talk about. We each have a praying part, okay? And we have a paying part. Oh, man, there's a missionary talking about money, yeah? Absolutely. There's 500 verses. Somebody mentioned about finances this morning. There's over 500 verses that reference money in your King James Bible. Okay? Finances are a spiritual matter. But I'm not going to focus on the giving. But we do have a praying part. We have a paying part. We have a personal part. Okay? We each have a personal responsibility to tell those around us and around the globe that Jesus died for them. And for most of us in here, we have a parental part. Okay? We ought to be concerned about what the 18-year-old son and daughter that we have in our home. Maybe they're not 18 now, but they will be in a flash, I'm here to report. Huh, Greg? In a flash, they're going to be 18. And they can leave your home, and you can't do nothing about it. What then? What then? You better prepare now. I'm just here to tell you better prepare now. Nathan didn't take his first snow machine ride yesterday. He went on his first ride to Bush, Alaska on a snow machine without being doubled when he was 8 years old. Okay? So he's only got 10 years of experience. 10 years of experience. So we each have a praying part. Let's look over in Matthew chapter number 9. I love preaching out of this passage of Scripture. It's on the front of our new bookmarks we got printed. It's on the old one, as a matter of fact. But we have some new print material coming. Finally got that done. I'm heading to a home missions conference in Colorado tomorrow morning. And tomorrow evening, hopefully, that stuff will be there. Because I haven't even seen it yet. I've seen it on the computer, but I don't know what it looks like exactly holding it in your hand. So we got some new printed material, but I've got the verse 38. I've got my kids a bookmark. Joe Lemon's ones actually gave me an idea. Do something for your kids if you're in ministry. Do something and make them part of it. For too many years now, I've been going to the bush, honestly, even in winter trips without my family. I've missed my family. I miss my wife. I think I'm going to probably task her to do it because I'm too busy. I'm kidding. She's busy, right? Homeschooling all these kids. But I believe I've probably been away from my wife, not all of my kids, I take them often with me to the bush, but I've probably been away from my home, away from my wife in ministry than I did when I was in the military. That's pretty crazy. And I'll just be frank, I'm tired of it, you know. I miss my wife. I miss my children. They're a huge part in the ministry. When I take the young people, we took Greg's whole family to Squintna. It's huge to have young people and ladies on a crew going into the bush communities. It's absolutely huge. They'll just open up to you. Brother Fox is shaking his head. His wife's been to Stevens Village. It's just really neat to watch a couple of women get alone and talk things I don't want to talk to them about. But they'll talk to my wife. They'll talk to my wife. It's a huge part of the ministry, and I so appreciate that. But we each have a praying part. So what I did for my children is I made up a bookmark. It's got all their pictures on there. Some of y'all may have seen some of the old ones. But at the bottom there, verse number 38 says, "Pray ye therefore, Lord, the harvest, he'll send forth laborers into his harvest." And for years, I've gone over the Church of the Lord 48 and hand out these bookmarks to my kids' pictures. This, I think, is probably the third or fourth printing here. And we've got the fourth or the fifth one being shipped to Colorado now or soon. But I've always asked the Lord, would you please use my children in full-time ministry? My dad, I told him I was called to preach and called it a full-time ministry. He shrugged his shoulders and he says, "Man, I wish I'd have talked you into maybe going to med school or something so you could maybe have a career field under your belt and have some experience and actually do something to help people." And man, I tell you, that crushed me. That crushed me. I'd seen people in the country of Oman. I didn't even heard of a country of Oman, okay, until I went there, Conference of Your Tax Dollars. The AWACS flew me over there. And I operated on the AWACS out there on two different appointments and went over there a couple of times for tail swats. But I didn't even know where the country of Oman was. But God called me to preach there in that desert. And it's amazing that if you just make yourself available, God will use you. He sure will. Maybe he don't want you to preach, but man, don't be scared of it. If he does want you to preach, preach, man. Share the gospel with people. That's all I did. I just had a heart for other people. I was burdened for the people around me who were scared of crashing and dying and going to hell for eternity. I gave them peace. I just turned to the Word of God. Okay? I was a witness. But we each have a praying part. So I pray that my children be used in full-time ministry. Now my dad's on board. He's praying for us. Okay? He is. He's been here. He's seen it. He's taken snow machine rides with me. He's excited about what we're doing now. But we need to have a praying part. What do you do with your prayer cards? Y'all collect the prayer cards? He had a stack up on his desk. I got a stack on my kitchen table, a huge one. I mean, the basket's chock full. Those of y'all who've been in my home, you understand our practice. What we do with prayer cards, I learned from somebody else. I'm not smart enough to figure this out, but what we do with our prayer cards is we just take the top one off. Dad will read it. The person, the family, the field, and me and my boys, before we sit down and eat dinner, we all take turns praying for that missionary, for their field. We pray for the harvest. Pray for the harvest. Pray for the harvest. But you know what? We need to pray for the laborers, too. You know, Brother Farr just told you there's probably four independent, maybe, in London, England. That's not enough. I got to thinking in my mind how, if I get an opportunity to present the RAM ministry down in Colorado, how am I going to communicate to people that we need laborers up here? We take the vast majority of the independent Baptist missionaries around the coastal village. There's so many in the interior. There's southeast Alaska. I think there's only one Baptist pastor down there now in Juneau. And there's another town I can't think of right now. I'm trying to say Craig. I think that's the one where the missionary died like a year or two ago unexpectedly. I left a hole. There's such a need here for laborers, folks. There is. We can reach half the state, over half the state, within 40 miles of Anchorage here. We reach over half the state. But where there's a creature, there ought to be a preacher. The people of the villages aren't going to fly here. They're not going to fly to Colorado or California to hear the gospel. I didn't go to hear the gospel. Someone took me. Or someone brought the gospel to me. And if you're saved here tonight, someone preached the gospel to you. Greg, someone shared the gospel with you, didn't he? Huh? I didn't go up. Maybe you're an exception here. Now, I've not preached to people in the prison that told me that I read my Bible one day and understood how to be saved and that I needed to get saved and I got saved. I've never met anybody with a testimony like that. Jesus said to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We have a praying part. We need to pray for the harvest, that the lost will be saved. We need to pray for the laborers, and that God will call more. He says here in verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad, a sheep having no shepherd. Man, is that Bush, Alaska or what? Man, you think about Bush, Alaska. If you've never been to the bush, you can't understand my zeal. Take a trip with me. Take a trip with me. When Josh Roach took me to the bush the very first time, it was a life-changing event for me. I lived in Alaska when I was 3 years old, folks. I thought I knew Alaska. Ask Brother Farr. You know, he's got lots of experiences in bush communities. Other of you have traveled around. Steve Brunt's been to a lot of places in Bush, Alaska. Brother Dave, other people in the military, maybe some people in Sabinja has been a lot of bush communities, but did you know there's over 100 towns in Alaska that don't even have 100 people? Are we going to get indigenous work going there? Probably not. Probably not. But does that excuse us from taking the gospel to them? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Wherever there's a creature, there ought to be a preacher. And Jesus said, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And they are. They're few here. They're few in New Guinea. They're few. There really are. In London, England, we heard testimony tonight. London, England. In the Philippines, I got a text message before the service. They're friends of ours, the Cullies. They'll be up here in June. An older couple went to the Philippines. Hey, what are your goals in your retired life? This is a side note, okay? This ain't my notes. When you retire, are your goals to go to the Philippines where there's Muslim unrest and give the gospel to people? What are your priorities? We have a praying part. Pray for the harvest. Pray for the laborers. And we also have a paying part. You know, if you don't give money to something, if you got money and you don't give it, you don't love it. You don't appreciate it. You know what, husbands, if you didn't buy your wife something every now and then, I buy my wife groceries once a month, you know, and laundry detergent, and I pay for her electric bill and things like that. It's because I love her. I give to the things that I love. Okay? I am halfway kidding there, but you know what, when I was giving you my testimony there about my life. Since I've been married, our priority has been missions. And I'm not here to brag about what we do, but I am here to brag about what God can let you do if you make that your priority also. Okay? I heard, anybody in here ever heard of the old country comedian, Christian comedian, Jerry Clower. I sent you a video of him yesterday. He's probably not even alive anymore because I think he's 10 years older than my dad. I mean, he's probably not even alive. But I got into this thing looking at YouTube videos of Jerry Clower. And yesterday, I just played this thing when Hannah and I were driving back from Fairbanks. I was playing this, a playlist or something with a whole bunch of things there, the same guy. And one came up, it was like 40 minutes. I was like, holy cow, man. Well, you know what? The guy preached, man. He had an opportunity to do a show in a church, and by the version of the Bible that this sissy preacher, and this is from old time ago, you could hear it was on a record, an LP. That's how old I am. I know what those things are. Because you could hear the little needle go around and around and around this thing, you know. But it's on YouTube, and I was listening to this. Ain't God good? And my family's going to listen to that. I would challenge you to play that for your family. But my family's going to listen to that in devotions the next time we're all together. But this guy got invited to do a show in a church that's not a Baptist church, but he wasn't ashamed to let them know that he was a Baptist. And he gave just incredible how he gave his testimony and presented the gospel. Folks, there's opportunities for us to present the gospel. But when he was in there, he was telling us, he said that we were so poor, the people that had nothing said we was poor. Okay? And he said, I am of some means now. I do have means. It's easy for you to sit there and say, well, you can give because you've got stuff to give. But you know what? The way he got to where he's at and the way I've gotten to where I am is I had the willingness to do so to begin with when I didn't have anything. Okay? And let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I don't teach and preach on this. This used to be my favorite thing. When I get an opportunity to preach or teach somewhere, I love this passage of Scripture. But now that I'm a missionary, people listen to me. They think I've got a hidden agenda, but I really don't. This is so exciting. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Use a little less chlorine in that next time, Levi. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I won't read all these verses here, but if you just read over and over, you talk about your finances. You don't have money to give. He mentioned it this morning about the giving. He made a mistake, though. He said you're stealing from God. The Bible says robbing. There's a difference. Pull out a gun and stick it in somebody's face and take what they got, that's robbing. Stealing might be just kind of sneaking it from them or burglarizing or something like that. That's what you're doing to God. You're robbing God is what the Bible says. That's some violence associated with that, man. But you look at this passage of Scripture right here, and he says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Paul's saying, hey, here's a real live example of a church that is doing something right here. We have a paying part, people. He says, verse number 3, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. They wanted to do more than what they were able to do. They were willing to do more than they were capable of. Okay, they were willing. They really, really wanted to. And he says that this they did, verse number 5, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us. You know, you may have means. You may have money. But it's not going to work out so hot for you if you don't first give yourself to God and submit yourself to your pastor. Listen to your pastor's teaching. Ask your pastor for wisdom. When God's talking to your heart or you're burdened about something, your pastor can pray with you about that. He can give you some insight where this might be a calling or a burden. There is a difference, by the way. Okay, there's a difference. A burden is only going to keep you involved in ministry for so long. You better be called to it. And this field here, the last I'm talking about, is one you can't fake for very long, my friend. Okay, you better seek your pastor's wisdom. He says, Paul says here, they first gave themselves unto the Lord and unto us. Okay, and verse number 11, he says, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which you have. The key word there is that which you've got. You know, you're not accountable for what Rob's got or what Dustin's got or what I've got. You're only accountable for what you've got. That ought to give all of us a sense of peace, really. But it ought to give you a sense of conviction, too. Because what you do have, you are going to answer for that. How you invest your money, how you invest your time, what you teach your children, how you support or don't support your wife. You're going to give an account for those things. You're not accountable for my kids. You're not accountable for my wife, my finances, my time. But you are accountable for yours. You will give an account of those things. You sure will. You'll stand before God one day and you're going to answer for what you do with what He gave you, the parable of talents. Okay? We have a paying part, folks. If we're not willing to give, we'll never be able to. You may say, I'm not able to. Well, if you're not willing, you certainly never will. Okay? He says, "For there, if there first be a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath." Again, not what someone else has, but what you have, and not according to that you have not. Okay? We have a praying part. We have a paying part. Everyone's part is important. You may say, you know, I've tried to raise money for some things. Brother McGovern said something, made a statement. He was impressed with how me and somebody in New Guinea could raise money for projects. But, you know, there's some people, some of the projects I've had have been so expensive that people don't want to have a part of it. They're like, man, I had a guy call me, a guy that had some means. He wanted to build us a garage. And he said, well, how much is it going to cost? And I was like, man, I don't know exactly. He said, well, tell me. So I done some homework and I told him how much it was going to cost. He said, well, could you cut it down some, and could you make it this small, and would that still fit your stuff? And I'm just like, man, he kept asking me questions in email. He never told me his name, never let me call him. But I figured it out eventually, and I actually contacted his pastor and said, hey, what gives? And here's what it was. The guy wasn't interested in helping unless he could afford to write a check for the whole thing and say, look what I did. I don't want your help. I don't want your help. Every person's part is important, though. You may say, brother, I only got a dollar. Well, you know, them guys, they tried to go to Rampart. They made it to Rampart yesterday. Nobody came to the service. They made it 8 miles up the Yukon River, so they didn't preach anybody in Stevens or Rampart. The gas money is still the same, several hundred dollars. I can't do that by myself. Everybody's dollar counts. Your prayer counts, your dollar counts. Moses said over in Exodus chapter 36, when they were collecting money for the sanctuary, he said, hey, we got more than enough. He calls a decree to go out, or a message to go out, don't give any more. Could you imagine Pastor McGovern come up here one Sunday, Jerry's reported to me that we've got too much money, folks, just keep it, don't give any more. And I'm sure there's laughter. Why not make that a goal? A church wrote me a check for $10,000 for that boat. What if when Pastor McGovern said we needed a generator, we could just write him a check? That'd be a good idea, wouldn't it? That'd be wonderful. I'm just encouraging you to check your priorities and understand that even if you've only got a little bit, it helps. You know, the smallest love gift I got, I think, for the boat was a kid that gave me $5. I never got a receipt paid in full until that last $5 was paid. Every one of us has a praying part. Every one of us has a paying part. And every one of us has a personal part. Norris Ward stood right here. I think I've shared this piece of paper with you guys. I've got somewhere in my Bible. I've got, you know, just tons of wise sayings that I've heard other people say. And I use them all the time. Y'all seen this before. I alternate it black and red. And then I've started using the margins and making those places, little things. But I'll never forget Norris Ward stood right here. And he said this. He said that his last command should be our first concern. Three of the Gospels in the book of Acts, the last thing that Jesus' words were recorded was, go. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Norris Ward said it. His last command should be our first concern. It's not what you're going to eat for supper tonight or dinner when you're north or south there after service tonight. That's not what's important. That's not God's concern. He's not concerned whether you go to McDonald's or Wendy's. He's not concerned with that. He's concerned about the lost people. The lost people in Rampart that said, no, I don't want to go to church. That would have been me. 35 years ago, that would have been me. I don't want to go to church. I wouldn't have went. I'd have just flipped the channel. I'd have put in another DVD. But Jesus died for them. He's concerned for them. Are you? What's your part in the Great Commission? You got a very personal part. Every one of us have a personal part. He said, go ye in our text there. In Acts 1:8, and you shall be witness unto me in both Jerusalem, both meaning simultaneously. Because there's really four things there, so it's not just two. It's all of it, simultaneous, okay? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and into the uttermost part of the earth. Well, obviously, we can't be in all those places at one time. You've heard it taught here, probably Brother Ward. And realize this, you know, this missionary here talking about missions, Hey, our missionary, our last missions conference is actually closer than our next one. You know, it's like 7 months away probably to our next missions conference, folks. It'd be a good reminder, something to maybe think about. Missions. What is your part in the Great Commission? Okay? You got a praying part, you got a paying part, you got a personal part. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said in Acts to be a witness. Okay? Maybe you're not even saved here tonight. I don't see anybody with their arms crossed, you know, but maybe in your heart you are. Maybe you're sitting there with your arms crossed. Maybe you don't know what I'm talking about the Great Commission. Maybe you don't understand what witnessing is. Maybe you've never been saved. If you've never come to realization that you're a sinner, you haven't been saved. If you've never understood that Jesus Christ died for your sins, you've never been saved. If you've never called upon the name of the Lord, you've never been saved. Have you been saved? Well, my friend, if you've never been saved, you're not going to be a witness for Him. It's kind of hard to be a witness of a crime that you never saw. Huh? It's kind of hard to be a witness of salvation if you've never been saved and born again. Okay, are you saved? Hell's hot, hell's real, hell's forever. Yeah, that might be great for the drunk out in the village, but buddy, I'm telling you what, it's great for you too. It is the good news. Are you saved? Are you born again? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? Be witnesses. We have a personal part. Go ye into all the world. Lastly, and I'll be done, we have a parental part. I talked about, maybe you say, you know, Rebecca's not a parent yet. But I've got a concern for her. I've got a concern for my grandkids. I think about my mom and my dad. Janet's mom's still living. I think about them and their influence on my children. We're very careful of who we let influence our children. Okay? Why is that? Well, you know, when we go places to witness, whether it's Alaska or otherwise, I don't let my kids go by themselves in a new place. I'm concerned for my children. Okay? I think that's natural. If you think I'm weird, I think you're weird too. It's just a natural thing to be concerned for your children, but not just to protect them, but to teach them and prepare them to go and serve the Lord. What better calling on their life could they get? You know, one of the Patch things says, you know, if God calls you to be a preacher, don't stoop to being a king, is one of the lines I've heard my kids say 1,000 times. But there is no greater purpose than sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with those that are lost. Because you know what? When we stand when we see Sam again, okay, the next time you see your brother, we're not going to worry about whether it was Wendy's or McDonald's. Then we go ahead and be faithful to knock on the doors and give the tracts out after Sunday morning service. That's what we're going to talk about. Man, I wish we could have gotten to Stevens today. But God's in control of all of that. Them boys woke up to 34 below this morning. I wouldn't have wanted to go myself. But I'm teaching my children things. I'm not just protecting them. I'm not just protecting them. I'm preparing them. The Bible tells us in Deuteronomy, teach them diligently, God's law, teach them his principles, teach them diligently to thy children. Are you diligent to teach your children? Or do we just come in here one or two or three times a week? There's a lot of smoke Christians, Sunday morning only Christians. There's a lot of people that were here this morning, smoke Christians, okay, that aren't here tonight. And I was being silly to say that Brother Brakerhoff scared him off because he said I was preaching, but it's the same way every Sunday. If you're not interested in coming here Sunday night and Wednesday night to hear what Brother McGovern has been told by the Lord what to share with you, I doubt you're teaching your children diligently God's Word and principles. I'll say it again because I only heard a couple of people that heard what I just said. If you're not concerned enough to be here three times a week to hear what the pastor has to say from God's Word, you're probably not diligent in teaching your children. Huh? If you're not diligent at it, the devil's going to beat you and win. The devil's real. The devil's real. We heard this morning, he's walking around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Not lick. Not pet. Destroy you and your children. Yes, I protect my children. But by God's grace, I'm going to prepare them to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. by His grace. I'm no great dad. My kids and my wife, and probably some of you, will be first in line to say, yep, John's not a good parent. But by God's grace, I'm going to do what I know how to do. Okay? I'm teaching my children everything I know. Okay? And if you want to teach them something, that'd be great too. There's men in here that have influenced my kids, and I thank you each one for it. We have a parental part. We need to be the example. We need to be an example for our kids. We have a parental part. Hey, Brother Lowe, you know, you got a parental part, grandparent part. That little girl standing up here this afternoon, I mean, that's the most I've heard Kayla say ever. Ever. And she said some of it two or three times, I think. I don't hear real well. But you know what? You have an influence on that kid. A huge influence. And you know what? I dare say Paul would be kind of like I used to be and probably would keep you away from her if you weren't diligent to be here. I wouldn't let you around my kids if you weren't here. No. No. Because I want my kids to be around the right kind of example. I grew up with an older brother who was a great example for me of what not to do. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Do not let your kids be around that. No. No. Protect your children, but also prepare your children. What are you preparing them for? To make money? Whoopee. God owns it all. How vain, in my opinion, my humble opinion, how vain it is to wish our kids could just make money and that's all we're worried about. I would venture to say if it makes me sick, I would say the one that's in the Holy of Holies, it probably makes him sick too. We each have a praying part, we have a paying part, we have a personal part, we have a parental part. But again, if you've never been saved, you don't understand what I'm talking about. You don't know what the Great Commission is. You don't understand that Jesus Christ not just died for Americans. He died for people in New Guinea. He died for people in Africa. He died for everyone. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All means all, and that's all that all means. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord God, for allowing me an opportunity to share.